Who are you?
Huh? Who are you? What are you doing?
I'm no one.
Who's that? What the hell is going on? This is supposed to be a podcast. What the crap? John? John?
I was raised to do one thing.
Whoa, what?
But I've got nothing to fight for.
Oh, come on, man. You gotta fight for your right to party. Come on.
Nothing will stand in our way.
Oh, shit, who are you?
I will finish what you started.
What? I didn't start anything. Who the fuck are you? Jesus.
TheUnheardNerd.com.
Radio Mass places a disc.
And now our feature presentation.
Secretly hoping that the next announcement from Marvel is a Squirrel Girl standalone movie. This is Betamax and Laserdisc, the movie and TV podcast from TheUnheardNerd.com. My name is Will, and as ever, I'm joined by an Avenger in podcasting. Hello, John, how are you?
I'm good, Will. How are you? Hello, everyone.
Frustrated, completely frustrated. God, it's taken a long time to get this show up and running. About 45 minutes late recording because of technical issues and a restart of death on my computer. But we are there, I think, just about. And can't be a late one, this one. It's already nearly the next day. I guess let's just get straight into the show and do what we normally do and do what have you watched since the last time we spoke, which was actually about a month ago, but I only just released the last podcast because I had almighty sound problems with that as well. You've got a voice of Brian Blessed compared to me, a squeaky little mouse.
Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
Oh, how was that?
Very, very good.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I didn't enjoy number 4 for some reason. I was really looking forward to number 4 and I didn't enjoy it. But no, number 5 is really good.
I honestly didn't know there were that many. I'm not a fan of Mission Impossible films. I have watched, I think, the first one. But I don't know, just never really floated my boat.
It's amazing. I watched the first one again several months ago, and it's amazing how there's barely any action in it.
Oh, yeah, well, it could be.
It really is a sort of a spy espionage thriller type film.
Mm. Okay. What else have you watched?
I watched the Back to the Future documentary that went on Netflix a while ago called Back in Time.
Oh, is that on Netflix now?
Yeah, the one I think there's some. I listened to the last podcast of the day, and I think we had a bit of confusion. You were talking about a documentary that was on the Blu-ray.
Yeah,
but there is another documentary on Netflix called Back in Time.
Oh, okay.
All about Back to the Future. To be honest, as a huge Back to the Future fan, I was a little bit disappointed actually because most of the stuff in there I knew, but there was a few bits I didn't. Mm. That makes sense. I mean, you see the cast and crew tell the stories you've probably heard before as a fan, but there was some interesting stuff about, you know, people. This couple have built a replica DeLorean, and they take it around the country to charity events and stuff. And you know, that part of it I found quite interesting.
Oh, cool! I wonder if it's the one that was at MCM Comic Con, which I attended recently. They had a DeLorean set up with a backdrop, and I don't know, maybe you saw the pictures on the website, but you could pose with a hoverboard and stuff. Yeah, it looked pretty cool. I wonder if it's the same people.
Possibly.
Maybe I should watch the documentary and find out.
Yes. On the other end of the spectrum, I think it actually broadcast when it was actually recording. I did try watching Keith Lemon's Back to Future tribute.
And?
I gave up after 10 minutes.
Because he's a prick?
It was depressing.
Oh, dear.
It was terrible. It's a shame because you can see he's a huge fan because the amount of detail he put into the sketches was amazing.
Yeah.
But then when his comedy started, it was like, oh. Mm. As an example, I showed the other half of this. The film opens up just like the original Back to the Future film with the slow pan across all the clocks.
Oh, right.
And except when it gets to the bit where his bed is, there's some like dried up tissues and stuff and some like page 3 girl stuck on the wall, and it's like oh dear. And then when you get to the bit where the automated machine is dropping dog food into the bowl, it's dropping for some reason baked beans.
Hmm.
And these gene cover, you know, the Marty walks in and you know it's Keith Lemon.
Yeah.
And he's doing this sort of bad accent going, Doc, where are you? And he goes, oh, look at this mess, referring to the beans. But then he bends down and scoops up the beans and eats some and goes, beans, lovely beans. Oh. You're like, okay, if this is the tone of the show, this is not going to... I did try skipping the sketches and watching the interviews, but the interviews were just embarrassing as well.
It's kind of what I expected it to be here. Just him being a bit crass it is what it is, and we knew what it would be, so no real surprises there. But well done for trying. Yeah, good effort.
There is Back to the Future. Give it a try. There might be something in there that might be of interest, but alas, no. What else? I mean, if you've seen the review on the website, swinging the how good is it Omita back in the complete opposite direction, Ash versus Evil Dead.
Oh yeah,
which I fucking loved. That was absolutely brilliant.
Oh, cool. I mean, you know, the Evil Dead is something that's sort of haunted us through the years on this podcast, isn't it?
Yeah.
I got a lot of abuse for not having seen The Evil Dead, and then when I watched it, I didn't like it. And yeah, we had a whole show dedicated to it, I think.
We had a third party, didn't we?
Yeah, it was Thomas Quinlan from Han Solo Records in Canada. Oh, yeah, he's a big fan of it. And I wonder what he thought of the TV show. I expect he liked it. I'll have to ask him, find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anything else?
Gotham season 2 just seems to be getting better and better at the moment.
I haven't really watched anything since the last time we spoke in terms of Gotham or The Flash. I've got a lot to catch up on. Also, Supergirl is on now. Have you watched any of that?
We gave up about 15-20 minutes into the first episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we didn't like it.
In those 15 minutes, did you think it would be suitable for young girls to watch?
It seems quite inoffensive. I don't see why not.
I just wondered if it would be a good entry point for my kids to watch something like that.
I think one of the things that I don't say a little thing, but one of the things that bugged us was the fact they never actually say Superman.
Oh, really?
It's always like, oh, it's Kal-El, oh, it's the Man in Blue, oh, it's the Man of Steel. They never actually say it's Superman.
I wonder if that's like a licensing issue.
It must be. It must be a rights issue. But after a while, once you've picked up on it, it's like, oh, this is annoying. Can someone just say it, please?
Mm. Oh, well, okay. Well, I did watch with my kids recently, and really in the lead up to... I'm going to go straight in with the Star Wars. In the lead up to Star Wars The Force Awakens, which is due out in, what, just a little over a month's time? Month and a week, something like that. I thought I'd start watching the Star Wars films. And for the first time ever, I started with Episode 1. Because I wanted to watch with my kids, and I wanted them to. I figured it was a good starting point. They would probably enjoy it. And they seemed to. I think they enjoyed it. But I'd forgotten how bad that film is. My wife and I were just sat there going, oh my God, this is... you kind of forget, because I haven't really watched it since I saw it in the cinema. And you kind of forget. You think, oh, it can't have been that bad. But the just literally the first 5 minutes of dialogue, the opening dialogue, it's just terrible.
You mean the opening scroll off to infinity?
The actual dialogue, yeah. As you are aware, our trade embargo is completely legal. It's like, fuck off. Who gives a shit about a trade embargo?
You've just reminded me, because the opening crawl that sets up the scene talks all about trade routes and taxes and stuff.
Yeah.
This is Star Wars. What's going on?
It's really not a good film at all. And Jar Jar Binks, oh my God. Oh God. I'd forgotten. I'd just forgotten, you know, how bad that actually is. But ho-hum, never mind. Onwards and upwards.
You've given me the idea. Actually, I might try my kids with that, because obviously I've tried episode 4 on them 3 or 4 times now. Mm. And my youngest, who's 3, sticks with it for about 15 minutes. But I think he only watches it that far, because at that point, those first sort of 10, 15 minutes are mostly about C-3PO and R2-D2. So he sits there thinking, oh, robots, I love this.
Yeah.
Then as soon as the humans come in, he's like, I'm off, I'm going to go play with my cars, see ya. And it's like, oh.
Yeah, well, my kids have watched episode 4, but a little while ago, actually. And they sat through it, they enjoyed it, and they watched half of Empire as well, but then it was bedtime. It was on TV one evening when we were staying with my wife's sister and husband. So we never really got through, but I thought I'd try and get through them sort of one by one. I don't know how far we can go, really, because I think certainly, was it the last, was it the Revenge of the Sith, or I can't remember, what's the third one called?
that's Revenge of the Sith.
That's quite dark at the end, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, especially with a crispy Anakin.
Yeah, exactly. Crispy Hayden Crispy, whatever his name is. I don't think we can go through. But, yeah, just as a starting point, I thought it would be nice for us to all watch that together, and then maybe the wife and I can sort of work our way through until we go and see. In fact, my wife's already mentioned that we should book up tickets to go and see The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Yeah. But other than Star Wars... as appeared on the website, I wrote a review, Mr. Robot, which was your recommendation. And as soon as it dropped on Amazon Prime here, we started watching it together. Really loved it. I mean, some odd tangents and some weird plots that go nowhere. Really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really great series. And that review that I've written on the site has picked up traction on the Mr. Robot Reddit. Yesterday when I checked, and I haven't checked today, but yesterday when I checked, it was like the fourth most trending article on Mr. Robot on the Reddit. It was on the hot topics. I don't really know much about Reddit, I'll be honest. I'm not a big fan. I just never really taken part. But it's getting a lot of traffic from Reddit, which can only be a good thing, so they might start reading other things on the site. So there's that. Mr. Robot was fantastic. I did mention before, I went to MCM Comic Con. Just for the Sunday, and again, I wrote a write-up on the website, but the day before I went, they had a Mr. Robot screening, and they gave out Mr. Robot hoodies and masks, like the F-Society masks. I'm really gutted I missed them. It would have been cool. I would have liked that. But what I did see at MCM was I went to a panel for Con Man, which is an Alan Tudyk of Firefly fame. I went to see his panel about Con Man, and it was so funny. It was such a funny panel, and they showed some clips of the program on the big screen. It was like really, really funny. I mean, like literally rolling with laughter. And that I actually went and bought this on Vimeo. As luck would have it, until the day after Comic-Con, you could buy it for £9.99 and own it forever. Yeah. After that, I think the price went up. But even with the price going up, I really highly recommend that people go onto Vimeo, search for Con Man, and watch that. Each episode is about 10 to 20 minutes long, but it has so many different cameos, like from people that appeared in Firefly, Felicia Day, Will Wheaton, Henry Rollins, Seth many Green. People. Pardon?
Seth Green.
Seth Green's in there, yeah. Any number of different people all crop up in there. And of course, Nathan Fillion. Because the show is sort of art reflecting life, reflecting art, reflecting life, reflecting however, Inception. because it's about a guy who was a pilot of a science fiction spaceship on a series that was hugely popular. The captain of the ship went on to have a huge, hugely successful career. Everyone else, not so much. And he spends his time going to conventions and signing autographs, and fans are hugely interested in the show and just like begging for more, want a movie. And it's all the whole series sort of starts with him sort of having this love-hate relationship with fans at conventions and some of the indignities that he suffers as he travels along, and ultimately culminating the pressure to make the program's called Spectrum in Con Man.
That's so, right, yeah.
To make a Spectrum movie. And it's fantastic. Have you watched it?
I've watched it, yeah.
It's the funniest thing that I've seen for a long time. I can't remember. I can't think of a single episode that I didn't enjoy. that was really good. I really enjoyed that. And as I say, the panel at MCM Comic Con was really good as well. So it was, that's one of my top picks. Anyone that hasn't done it, just get onto Vimeo. I had my reservations because I'm not a Vimeo user. But I got on there. I downloaded it, or paid my money, got it. And despite not being able to watch it on my TV properly, because the playback is awful on the Vimeo app. I've reported that to Vimeo, and they're looking into it. I've watched it on my iPad or my phone or whatever. It's brilliant, really good. So I recommend that. Other than that, I can't really think. I think we've watched another film or two, but I can't remember what we've seen. What I did see actually was that, and we mentioned it in the last show, was I went to that Walking Dead Season 6 preview screening thing. Okay. Yeah, it was awful.
Was it?
The programme was good. I mean, yeah, the episode was good, as you'd expect a season opener to be full of action and lots going on. Having not really been up to date with The Walking Dead, didn't really matter too much. I was able to pick up what was going on, get the gist. Mm. But it wasn't like a premiere or anything, you know. It was at Entertainment One's offices in, I can't remember where it was, north of the river somewhere in London. And it was literally like, you turn up, there's some warm beer on a table, there's pizza that's cold. We've got two PlayStations. You can watch someone else playing the Walking Dead game. And when you're ready, come into the screening and we'll play a really bad quality picture with awful sound for you. So,
really?
Yeah, it was terrible. One of the worst screenings I've been to. And that off the back of going to Dolby to watch that Game of Thrones episode in Dolby Atmos. And not very good. Yeah. So never mind. The show was good though.
It's shocking.
Yeah. So shall we start the show?
We have done, haven't we?
Yeah, I know. We always say that, but start the show proper. Have you got any bits lined up?
Oh, I've made notes and loads of bits as usual.
I've got one bit. I actually brought one bit to the show this time, which is more than I usually bring. But we'll throw it in. Okay. We'll throw it in at some point. You might already have the bit. Okay.
The Crow is still coming back.
I don't believe it.
It is. I can't believe I know. I remember actually thinking about The Crow. I remember when you reported the story on the old Unheard Nerd website, and you did that mock up of James McAvoy, The Crow.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, this has been going since 2013 now. trying to get the Crow franchise back out. As we said, James McAvoy was linked. Tom Hiddleston was linked. Alexander Skarsgård was rumoured to be in there as well. And Luke Evans of Fast and Furious 6 was in there at one point as well, but he dropped out. And apparently there's a guy called Jack Houston from Boardwalk Empire show who's going to be there, but he's had to drop out because Relativity Media filed for bankruptcy.
Oh dear.
But apparently one of the things they wouldn't let go of was the rights to The Crow.
apparently
they've managed to sort of get themselves back on their feet, sort out their financial worries. And director Corin Hardy is determined that it's going to get made. He said, "The Crow is happening. I'm going to make it. We were making it, and it was going very well until this Relativity situation occurred. But it is something that I'm very excited about, very passionate about. We're all waiting to resume production. Ed Pressman is the producer. Creatively, everyone's excited. Relativity is sorting itself out, which I can't speak about, but you can read about it online." Hmm. So it's still, you know, what's that? Two and a half years. It's coming.
I still don't believe it, but it is a film about coming back from the dead. So hey, it's entirely possible. I should say at this point, I've had to stand up, John, because I got a chronic case of cramp.
That's fine.
My leg absolutely just killed me, and I didn't want to scream out in pain because you were talking. But I'm now standing up doing this because that's the only way it stops hurting. I played football this afternoon, this evening, as I do every Monday. So my legs are seized up. Sorry, The Crow. God, I'm dying. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about The Crow coming back. To be honest, at this point, I kind of think maybe just leave it. It's not worth it. Because I like The Crow as it was, and it wasn't a perfect film by any stretch of the imagination. There's always room for improvement, but I'm not sure that a reboot that's made by a struggling company, and there are going to be budget limitations, I just don't know that it's going to be good. I fear for it.
I know, it's life imitating art, isn't it? As you say, it's coming back from the dead. It's like
yeah, somewhat, yeah. But who knows? Maybe it'll be good if it ever materialises in 2020 or something. Yeah.
As we always say, wait until the first trailer, then hack it down.
Yeah. I'm not waiting that long. Cool. Okay.
Speaking of trailers, did you see even more Star Wars footage has popped up in the last week?
Yeah, I mean, the TV spot, I found a little bit, well, not much of it, really. It wasn't anything that wowed me. I mean, I saw your comment about, yeah, let's stop having footage because I just want to see the film now. And I think I won't bother watching any more TV spots. But that one, it didn't really give much away. It was a bit of new footage, but, you know, not in any context. The Japanese, I think it was Japanese trailer, wasn't it?
Yeah, the official trailer for Asia from Disney Japan. No one was expecting that.
Or as Americans, it arrogantly call it an international trailer.
Oh, yeah.
yeah, well, you know, it's not an official trailer if it's for another country.
Oh, no, it's just like fan-made for all we care.
Yeah. But, I mean, that was interesting. I like the last trailer that came out. It's very, I thought the way they opened the trailer, you know, with the voice and the questions, like, who are you? What's your... I thought that was good. I really enjoyed that. It sort of set the tone very well.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really hyped for Star Wars now, having not been for such a long time. I am starting to get on board to the point where now I'm considering buying Star Wars toys at the age of 38. There's nothing wrong with that.
I nearly brought a Stormtrooper. Well, I would have brought Stormtrooper the other day if the missus hadn't sort of said no.
I did buy one of those little micro machine things. I don't know if it's a micro machine or like a little, just like tiny toy pack. It's like a surprise pack. You don't know what you're getting in there. And I got the Luke's land speeder. So I really wanted the Millennium Falcon or an X-Wing, really. Never mind.
Okay. The Disney store are doing these, what scale are they? 3 or 4 inch figures, but they're die-cast metal.
Oh, cool.
And they're really nice. You know they must be nice because there's no notice up next to them saying you can only buy two at any one time.
Oh, really?
You can't really, they won't let you walk in and pick up the whole set. You can only go in and buy two.
Crazy. But my problem is, if I started buying that stuff, it would become a bit of a habit. And I don't actually have anywhere to put it. I don't have anywhere in my own home that is my space. I'm literally pinned into the corner of my dining room. And I've got a desk, which is not even really a proper desk. It's like an extending table. And I have to put my legs at either side of a leg to actually sit at it, which is not so not an ideal workspace. And I've just got nowhere to put stuff, so I can't collect anything. There's no point. But I would love one of those TIE Fighter Lego sets or Black X-Wing or something. That'd be cool. But I'm pretty hyped for Star Wars.
I had the thought the other day, just hope it's not going to be, I can't imagine it being that bad, but remember how hyped we were for Phantom Menace?
I think when I went and saw the Phantom Menace, I went and saw it in the Leicester Square Cinema. Again, I think, it won't mean anything to the listeners, but with Ben and possibly Keith and a few other of our friends from way back in the day, and my wife as well. And they had people fighting with lightsabers in front of the screen before the screening, and everyone was whooping and cheering. And then we all left and cried. So that was fucking money down the drain, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But it is what it is. I can't wait. Are you going to go and see it? Have you got plans to see it?
I need to book tickets. Unfortunately, I'm working when it's released, so I'll have to see it as soon as I get back home again.
You could go without the wife. She'd never know. Just go again.
You go, oh, that's really good the second first time.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where. I don't know what time we'll see it, but we will definitely go and see it. I can't wait. What's next? What else have we got?
It's been revealed that it's not been officially confirmed, but Disney won't be issuing any of Princess Leia in her gold bikini from Return of the Jedi.
I kind of heard this a little while ago, that some idiot in a shop in America saw a Slave Leia toy and kicked up a fuss, and everyone was like, for fuck's sake, mate, they've been around for fucking years. It's not a new thing. Like, what fucking stone have you been living under? I heard that, and then they pulled them all. It was like a store like Walmart or something.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
I read it today, I think it's a Marvel artist called J. Scott Campbell, and on his Facebook page again, he said, Disney is already well on its way to wiping out the slave outfit from any future products, period. You will not see and future merchandising featuring the slave outfit ever again, trust me.
It's kind of a good thing in a way, because I don't really want to see Princess Leia in a slave outfit now.
No.
Not in these new films. I mean, that wouldn't be a good sight, would it?
No.
Hey, Granny, put on your slave Leia outfit.
I was reading, I can't remember what's now, I think it might be on Reddit, because I've started reading Reddit recently, because when you've got bored and nothing to do, it's quite a lot on there to read. Mm-hmm. And some feminists have just started taking up the Leia thing and going, why is she in a bikini and why is she, this is all sexist and blah, blah, blah. And I go, well, she overthrows her oppressor for a start. She strangles him with a gold chain. So
Yeah, the very thing that's enslaving her actually acts as a tool for her release. I kind of get it. I mean, it's a bit gratuitous that she's in a bikini. It's not necessary, but in the context of the film, it wasn't just her. There was a slave before that got eaten by the thing in the pit.
And
thank you, Rancor. I was desperately trying to find the name. And I think in the context of the film, she's a fucking slave, and you know, she's there as, you know. I don't know why it's an issue now, like however many years after that film came out. It's like, get a grip, people. Come on. Let's just focus on something else a bit more. You know, there's plenty more things to tackle in the world right now that are a bit more serious than that. But yeah, it is what it is. And I really wanted one as well. Okay, what's next?
Keeping with the sci-fi theme, unfortunately, Neil Blomkamp's Alien sequel has been put on hold.
Oh.
We don't know if it's on sort of temporary hold or indefinite hold, but apparently Fox is prioritising Prometheus 2 to come out first.
That's kind of what I heard, which is why I went, oh, really? I had heard that it had been put back because of Prometheus, which sounds fucking stupid to me, because Prometheus was dull. I don't know if you liked it, but for me it was a bit...
It's visually, it's very nice.
It was
great. Line and stuff, but story-wise and that, it was a bit...
It was good to look at, but it didn't capture the imagination for me in quite the same way as... Well, it's not... I don't know, it kind of is attached to the Alien universe in a way, but it's not really.
I know, it's kind of it is and it isn't scenario. It's like, well, someone make up your mind. Say yes or no. You know, put us out of our misery.
Yeah. But, I don't know. There's more than one Prometheus film in the pipeline, isn't there? I think there's at least two.
Okay. As long as they're better than the first one.
It can't.
Same. I mean, I still haven't watched Chappie yet. So
I've got that lined up to watch as well. Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
But I've seen lots of pictures and trailers, and along with District 9, which I love. I love the guy's style. Oh, we also did, what's the one we're missing? It's not mentioned in my notes. That one with Matt Damon, that was his, wasn't it?
Oh, not Oblivion.
Elysium?
Elysium, yes, you're right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was all right, but I like the style more than the actual sort of the film itself. So I'd love to see his take on the Alien franchise, especially as only a week or two ago, he put a picture on Instagram of the M41A pulse rifle that the Marines use from Aliens, and how he's upgraded it a bit to make it, you know, a bit more futuristic. It's got some extra sights. So, and you're like, you're going, oh, good, he's going back to, like, you know, Aliens, which everyone loves, and he's just updating it, tweaking it a bit. This is going to be really good. And then, bonk, we've put it on hold. Oh, you bastards.
Yeah. I've got to say, I'm not a massive fan of Neil Blomkamp's stuff. I thought District 9 was, half of it was good, and the second half was awful. I found the more serious side really appealed to me, whereas most other people say, you know, the slightly slapstick, more fun side, was floated their boats. Elysium, it was all right. It was okay. It was more of an attempt at a serious movie. I can't remember what the other one was. But no, I will give Chappie a watch at some point. I've got it on my computer ready to give a viewing to whenever I can find time. But time is so difficult to find these days.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, there we are.
Moving on with more. This is a bit more of a niche market, this one. UK comedy, UK sci-fi comedy for Channel 4. which I thought I'd mention because it's been put together by Graham Linen, which is a name probably most people won't recognise. We'll know his work. He did the IT Crowd and Father Ted.
All right.
And he's working with Adam Buxton. I don't know if you know who that is.
Yeah, from Adam and Joe.
Adam and Joe, yeah. They're working on a they're working on a show called The Cloud. And the main just started working on it, so there's no cast or anything yet. But the quote I've got is, "The Cloud follows the fairly hapless crew of Cloud Station 13, a data hub floating in space, set up to protect the vast amounts of information humanity now hoards on its devices. Of course, that information largely comprises of selfies, copious pictures of kittens, and we're afraid to say, rather a lot of porn."
Interesting. Another British sci-fi series that's currently in the works as well is the next series of Red Dwarf. Yeah,
I keep forgetting that's coming back. It's been so long since was it Red Dwarf 11 was the last series, wasn't it?
I went and saw a live recording of I think one of the episodes. I can't remember which episode it was.
I remember you being disappointed, weren't you?
I was very disappointed, actually. Yeah, with the experience of going to see the live recording, because the cast really didn't seem that interested in interacting with the audience much, and they all seemed a bit pissed off. And between takes, they all went out at the back for a cigarette.
Yeah.
Rather than it was a bit of a disappointing and flat experience, and not anywhere near as much fun as I thought it would be, having driven the entire width of London from east to west to get there to a fucking field to park in at the I can't remember, is it Pinewood Studios or the other one?
Yeah.
I think, yeah. Not a great experience. I won't be rushing back to see that, but I'll give it a watch on TV. I watched the series and I quite enjoyed it. I'll give, was it called The Cloud, did you say?
The Cloud, yeah. I don't know. I mean, they've only just started working on it, so that's a way off, yeah.
Okay. Well, Adam Buxton's pretty consistent with his... with his comedy work. I think he's pretty good.
I catch his stuff on YouTube now again. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, they do a podcast, don't they? Which is supposed to be very good. I've never got around to listening to it, but that might be worth a listen as well.
Moving on with more TV news, they're bringing back Steven Spielberg's Amazing Stories.
Are they? I really enjoy that, and I read the book, all the short stories that inspired the episodes of the series.
I didn't know that existed.
Yeah, I read it. I read it before I saw the series. Years and years ago when I was a kid, really. I really enjoyed that. That's something from my childhood I sort of remember fondly, which is probably going to get shit all over now.
Well, it's being put together by a guy called Brian Fuller, who was the guy behind the recent Hannibal series.
Okay. I haven't watched that, but I hear good
things. No, not to lie, but he's got a lot of credit going for him. I mean, just thinking back to Amazing Stories, was that the first episode? Was that B-52 bomber that wouldn't land until that bloke imagined cartoon landing gear to appear?
It sounds worse than it was.
that makes it sound terrible, but it was much better than that.
It was, yeah.
There's some A-list, some quite a big talent. I mean, I think Christopher Lloyd was in an episode, and then I remember an episode about, I think it was set in Australia or not Australia. There may be just the desert part of America. There's a hole in the ground, and whenever this girl sort of put down stuff in a bucket, whatever was in the ground would reward her with like gold, and the bigger the things she gave the hole, the more gold she got back.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if it was a stepdad or a dad who was really nasty. He's like, "Where's all this gold come from?" And she goes, "Oh, it's from down the hole. The people down there give me stuff when I give it to me, when I give them stuff." And he tries to go down the hole, and I can't remember what happens. The rope snaps or he trips and falls. And they end up sending up, they thought it was another gift. And so they just send up buckets after buckets of gold. This girl's got like a small hill of gold. I just remember that one for some reason.
I obviously don't remember it in as much detail as you do, but I do remember enjoying it. I thought it was a good show. So good. I'm kind of glad that's coming back, but I guess it'll be all new stories.
Oh yeah, I don't think they're actually going to remake the original stories. No, Bill Boys. I mean, it's good because it's just because it's called Amazing Stories. It's just such a vast scope you can play with there.
Yeah, it's not limiting, is it?
No. You think it'd be action, it'd be sci-fi, it could be drama. Just you know, they always have some kind of amazing twist in them that makes them amazing, basically.
Yeah, cool. At this point, John, I'm going to bring in a recurring feature of the show.
Okay.
It's a recent recurring feature, but it's one that's consistently come up over the last three shows now, including this one, who we haven't interviewed this month.
and
honestly, it started rather poorly with the lead actor in, was it Sharknado 3? It's not out yet, but that it's a documentary style film, that one, for anyone that wants to see. We had actors David Purefoy and Olga Kurienko from a film that's coming out, I think, next week or the week after, which the name escapes me at the moment, but I think it's like a sci-fi thing, probably not that big budget, but it's got a cinematic release, a wide-scale cinematic release, so it might be decent. But this one, not an actor this time, but an offer to interview, which obviously I didn't accept, the director of a film we both really enjoyed recently. His name is Pete Docter, spelled D-O-C-T-E-R, and he's the director of Inside Out for the Disney Pixar film. So that's
what the fuck to say to him? I can't believe that. Oh man!
So that's who we didn't interview this month. We need a little jingle for that.
I start crying now.
Well, I mean, the problem with these interviews is that they are generally quite short notice. They can be phone interviews, or some of them would be in person, or telephone or Skype interviews, but usually they are happening at times when I have to work my day job. And unfortunately, as interested as my boss is in the unheardnerd.com and the success that I and we enjoy as a result of that website, he's not so keen on me dodging off work to actually go and interview someone famous. But yeah, he was very impressed because he liked Inside Out as well. But yes, that was our latest offer, and that's who we haven't interviewed this month.
God.
At some point, we should just start making these interviews up, and you be the director and I'll be the interviewer, and see how that goes. So we mentioned David Purefoy in the last episode as a potential interviewee. And that he appeared in John Carter, which has just been announced on, I think it's on Amazon Prime, with bells and whistles. It's John Carter, it's available on Amazon Prime. It's like, hang on, no, I remember that film. I've seen that one.
Are they trying to put a fast one on us? It's not that good.
I know, so how many years later? That came out, at least 2012, it must have been. Maybe earlier, probably earlier.
I don't know. I just remember I wasn't impressed. I was really willing to give it a go as well because it's getting some negative press. And I thought, no, ignore all that. Let's see what happens. And then,
Well, like I said, I didn't think it was that bad. It passed the time, but at the same time, not that great either. So yeah, fair enough.
They're making a sequel to Hansel and Gretel. I think it's the original film. Sorry, Witch Hunters. I forgot the subheading. Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
I was going to say, I mean, that's a bit late in the day. They've grown up, built their own gingerbread house. I don't know what. Witch Hunter, Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunter. I don't think I even knew that existed.
It's Jeremy Renner and Gemma Arterton.
Oh God, vaguely remember. I've never watched it, but yeah,
it's not bad. It's not brilliant. It's not bad. It's fairly entertaining. Apparently, it only cost about $50 million to make, and it made back $225 million.
That's a pretty good return. That's not bad at all, is it?
No, but apparently decided to turn it into a cable TV series.
All right. Okay. Interesting. So it's a sequel as a series.
Yes.
Interesting development.
No one knows who's involved yet, but that's what Paramount decided.
Well, interesting you mentioned Jeremy Renner, because I have a news piece to bring.
Yes.
I saw this earlier in the week and I thought it was quite interesting. CinemaBlend.com. I'll say that less English. CinemaBlend.com. This week published what they believe is how much each of the Avengers got paid in Avengers Age of Ultron in dollars. Right. Yes, and I'll start at the bottom of the pile with the lowest earner on this, and we'll work our way up and we'll see what you think of this.
Well, I can guess who's at the top, but yeah, you can start from the bottom.
Yeah, I think you probably can guess who's at the top. But anyway, rolling in at the bottom, it's going to make him angry, which means he's going to be green. It's with a mere $2.8 million, it was Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk.
Really?
Yeah, lowest paid by quite some way, I would say.
That's surprising. I thought it would have been a bit higher up.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose he doesn't play any. I mean, they all play a part in the story and the plot as it goes. But
yeah,
I mean, really, he doesn't do an awful lot in actually moving the plot along in the film. You know, obviously there's the big fight with the Hulkbuster and the Hulk, and you know, but I don't know. It's just not an integral part of the film in the same way as, you know, Iron Man is responsible for creating Ultron ultimately.
But I mean, you could say technically that he's not really on screen that much as well either. But then again, on the other hand, I do believe he does the motion capture work for the Hulk. But
yeah, he does. I believe so. Yeah. So good point. But I'm sure he's crying about it. Just a poor $2.8 million in his bank account after that. Next up would be Thor himself, Chris Hemsworth, with a paltry $5.4 million.
Oh, no.
Which is almost double what the Hulk got. which is kind of bizarre. Amazingly, incredibly, and you know, the nice segue, Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye,
yeah,
$6.1 million for what, I'm not sure. Okay, quite. they did try and sort of build his character in the film. You know, they gave him a bit of a story. You know, wife and kids, yeah, and yeah, the home retreat away from being an Avenger, and yeah, he shot some arrows and he got knocked over by a really fast guy for a little while. But
yeah,
$6.1 million. Next up, Captain America himself, Chris Evans, with an also meager $6.9 million. Now, that leaves the top two. Coming in second with a feeble, tiny $20 million.
20
for one film, Scarlett Jojo, also known as Johansson, however you like to say it. Scarlett Johansson, $20 million for Avengers Age of Ultron, according to sources that have contributed to an article on cinemablend.com. Now, can we guess who's number one? Go on, have a guess.
Robert Downey Jr.
Yes. Ding, 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 ding. You got the jackpot. Weighing in with a hardly worth getting out of bed for, meager $40 million. $40 million. Allegedly, according to this article.
Allegedly, fuck.
That's double what Scarlett got.
Jesus.
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. Obviously, we're in the wrong job, John. If that Pink Power Ranger gig had have turned out better, we could have been in the big bucks, but not to be. Not to be. Right. So, yeah, there we go. How about that? That's what about six?
I didn't know this podcast was going to get me so emotional.
It's not quite 100 million, I don't think, all in, but not bad work.
I mean, it's only the last podcast that was speculating that the total budget for the Avengers Wars would be about $1 billion, and I can see why now.
Yeah, also known as the Infinity Wars for anyone that cares about fact. You said Avenger Wars.
Adventure Tonight, sorry.
That's our whole other film. That's what we, that's the fan film we're planning on making it. You just revealed it. Oh my God. Giving it away. I've got my Thor costume ready. I'm also going to be playing Scarlet Witch.
Oh dear.
Yes. So yeah, there we go. I hope that hasn't disrupted your flow too much. Have you got something else for us to talk about?
On a almost identical story, really, to the one I just mentioned about Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. Ah. They're bringing back Van Helsing again, but it's going to go to series on Sci-Fi, as it's spelt, on the Sci-Fi Channel.
You've got to get over that at some point, you know.
And there's going to be a slight change. It won't be Van Helsing. It will be, can you guess?
Vin Helsing. It'll be Vin Diesel as a star.
Well, perhaps you'd contact them. It's not a bad idea. It's just made that film, hasn't it? It's called Witch Hunter.
Amazing. Who says Hollywood has no bright ideas?
No, it will be called, it will be about Vanessa Helsing.
Not sold on that.
Why not? Well, apparently it won't be based on the film with Hugh Jackman. It'll be based more on the character that was in the original Bram Stoker novel. And apparently it says the series will envision the character as not necessarily a reinterpretation of Van Helsing, but rather the next in a long line of supernatural warriors who is resurrected 5 years in the future. She awakens to a world ruled by vampires and must use power she wields over these creatures to lead mankind in a fight against them.
Hooray!
Hooray! Have we seen this before? It's just Blade now, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, Bladeette.
Female whatever, insert title, is really the kind of the in thing, isn't it seems? Yeah, we got female Ghostbusters. Also, all female is the tagline. All female Ghostbusters. There's like something else all female that's going to be... Can't even remember what it is. I read about it.
I mean, it's only a one sentence note I've got. I might just stick it in here. It seems appropriate. They're remaking Ocean's 11.
Oh yeah, well, that's it. That's the one.
An all female cast led by Sandra Bullock.
Yes, all female Ocean's 11. I'm thinking maybe for the next show we'll do an all female podcast. What do you think? And we just get our wives to do it instead. How would that work? Do you think?
I don't know.
Hey, if you like it, people, tweet us. Let us know. Hit us up. You know who we are. On Twitter, I'm at the Unheard Nerd because, you know, it's my website. And John is at UK Film Nerd because, you know, he's from the UK and he's a film nerd. So yeah, get in touch. I was quite pleased. We got a couple of tweets from people in Britain land that...
Yeah,
well, people that listen to the show who live in Britain, got a few messages going, oh, wait, I listen, I'm in Britain. So now maybe this week it's this time around it's turn of Americans. So if you're in America and you listen to this podcast, tweet us. That includes you, MC Hunter, because I know you still listen secretly, even though you don't talk to us anymore. Don't think we've forgotten about you, bitch. No, he tweeted me the other day, but I can't remember what it was. It wasn't about the podcast, but yeah, dude's still around somewhere.
Hi David, thanks for tweeting, we really appreciate that. I just found his tweet.
Oh yeah, cool. And the other dude, pizza man, what's his name?
My mate Mike. Yeah, unused pizza.
Oh, he's your mate. Oh, he didn't count then.
Yeah.
Getting your mates to tweet in.
I didn't ask him to.
Texting everyone, can you just tweet us, say you listen to our show, please, and make it sound popular. That's cool. It's nice. Nice to get a little bit of feedback. We want more feedback. So if you hate the show, let us know. If you love the show, it's unlikely, but let us know. If you've got no real strong feelings,
show, what are you listening? Let us know.
yeah, come on. Exactly. Let us know why you hate the show and why you're listening. Is it because you're a bit mental? And yeah, if you've no real strong feelings either way, you know, neither hate nor loathe. No, that's the same thing. If you neither hate or love, either way, just let us know. Just tweet us. Just to be lonely, just tweet us. So yeah, or Facebook us. You can Facebook us. It's the Unheard Nerd No, it's not. It's facebook.com/theunheardnerd. I know where our media outlets are. And stuff. You can email us. Yeah, email us. It's theunheardnerd@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your emails, ideas for the show, what you'd like to hear more of, what you'd like to hear less of. If it's me, fuck off. And get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. What have we got next, John?
Just one more thing. Just a couple of Terry Gilliam projects he's working on.
Okay.
I'm a fan of his work. If you don't know who he is, he's the guy who did, Fisher King, Time Bandits. Mm-hmm. What was his latest one? Is it Zero Theorem? I think it's called.
That was fucking weird.
That was a weird one.
Yeah, I watched that.
I mean, I must admit, I like the look of his films, but sometimes I don't know what's going on in the films.
But wasn't he also responsible for 12 Monkeys?
Oh, yeah, that's one. Yeah, that's his.
That's one everyone's heard of.
Everyone knows 12 Monkeys.
Made into a TV series and soon to be an all-female reboot of the remake of the series as a film. Something like that.
Oh, dear. Well, apparently he's looking to turn Time Bandits into a TV series, which I think could work.
I don't think I've ever seen Time Bandits. I think I've seen bits of it, but I've never really watched it.
The child going through time with the dwarves.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen it. I know my next-door neighbour, who worked in pantomime for like years. I mean, I think he's pretty much actually done an entire year. If you add up all the days he's done pantomime, he did it for an entire year, consecutive year. But often he would be working with people, actors that were in Time Bandits. So, yeah, the little people.
Oh, right.
Because they get cast as pixies or elves or whatever in pantomime. So he kind of knew a lot of the actors that were in the film. So, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, interesting facts that nobody cares about. And next door neighbour, if you are listening, tweet us.
Tweet us. Let us know what you like. We don't like.
He doesn't listen. I was walking down the road once and he was going the opposite way. I had my headphones on. I took him off to say hello. He was like, oh, what are you listening to? Because we're both podcast fans. We listen to a lot of the same podcasts. I said, oh, embarrassing. I'm listening to myself. And he was like, oh, okay. Yeah, he doesn't listen. Cool. Okay, well, I can't really comment on that because I don't know anything about it. Did you watch it, the film?
What, Time Bandits?
Yeah.
Yeah, I quite like Time Bandits. It's a good one.
Is it a comedy?
Yeah, it is comedy. Yeah, it's got a lot of big. You've got Sean Connery makes an appearance. John Cleese is in there. Hmm. David Warner is, I can't remember, he's just the bad guy. Yeah, it's a good film.
Okay. I wonder if I'm subconsciously a little bit small peopleist. A little peopleist. Maybe I don't know. But I don't think so. I met Warwick Davis.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was all right. But, yeah. No, maybe not then. I've dispelled that theory quite quickly. Well, maybe I should watch Time Bandits then. It seems like a film I would enjoy. I think, is that about it? Is that it? Have we actually done a show in less than an hour? Is it possible?
Yeah, let's just round out there. Let's know. What was the last one? Hour 10 or something? Hour 15?
Yeah, I mean, you know, before I cut a load of crap out, it was it was a hell of a lot longer as well. It was painful. For people, to explain why it was, you know, we were talking about stuff that happened like a month before. The sound levels went to shit on that show. You were incredibly loud. I was incredibly quiet. So I had to make me louder, but I couldn't make me the same volume as you. Otherwise, you were distorting more than you actually were in the show that got released. So I had to reduce your level, but I couldn't reduce it to the same level as me because you wouldn't be able to fucking hear a thing. So, so it really was painful, like literally going through. Every time I spoke, increase the volume on that section. Every time you spoke, decrease the volume on that and try and find some sort of level, which I didn't manage really to do because you were still a lot louder than me. So I think hopefully this show, the balance will be a lot more. It'll be more even. The first show we did with our new setup was brilliant. It was so easy to edit and the levels were perfect. Hopefully this time the levels will be fine again. And, we'll see. We'll see. If it comes out at all, I really hope it has. Really hope it has. Okay. So with that done and dusted, I will say, John, thank you ever so much for joining me once more.
Excellent. Enjoyable as always. Emotional.
Emotional. I'm literally going to cry after all the technical difficulties we had. Starting this show 45 minutes after we were supposed to. But never mind, we've got it done, and it's still before midnight, so hooray. So until next time, everybody, get involved. Tweet us at UK Film Nerd and at The Unheard Nerd. Hit us up on Facebook. It's facebook.com/TheUnheardNerd. And email us with your suggestions for the show. And if anybody makes jingles, make us some jingles for some of these recurring sections, like who we didn't interview this month, or what we've watched since last time, or hang on, Will's gone off on a rant again. Let's just rein him back in. So if you make jingles, send us some jingles. Who knows, they might get used in the show, because I certainly can't be bothered to do it. So until next time, thanks for joining us. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
UnheardNerd.com.